ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಶ್ಚ ಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಶಿಕೀ. ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 5 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 5 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 20. ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಭವಂತಃ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಃ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಸಂ ಅಮುಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಅಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಅರಹಂತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಸಮಮಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಸಮಮಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಅಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಅಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತತ್ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಸಮಮಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಸಮಮಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಅಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಅಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ಭರಣಂ ಭಜ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ. ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಸಮಮಂ ಸನಾಭಂ ಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಾ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಂತ್ವಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಮರಣೇನ ಜಾತಾ ಮೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ ಜಾತಂ ಕ್ಲಿಷ್ಟ ಬುದ್ಧಯ ಭರತಂ ಭಜಧ್ವಂ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷಣಂ ತದ್ಭರಣಂ ಪ್ರಜಾನಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಾದ್ ಭವಂತೋ ಹೃದಯೇನ ಜಾತಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ಮಹೀಯಾಂ Matajis. Swadhamantum Dhena Jata. Aklishta Buddhaya Bharatam Bhajatvam. Sushrushanam Tadbharanam Prajanam. Tasmat, therefore, because I am the Supreme, Bhavantaha, you, Hridayena, from my heart, Jata, born, Sarve, all, Mahiyamsam, the best, Amum, that, Sanabham, brother, Aklishta Buddhaya, with your intelligence, without material contamination, Bharatam, Bharata, Bhajadvam, just try to serve, Sushrushanam, service, Tad, Bharanam Prajanam, ruling over the citizens. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is a seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother Bharata, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourself in Bharata's service, your service to him will automatically include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Purport. In this verse, the word Hridaya indicates the heart, which is also called Uraha, the chest. The heart is situated within the chest, and although instrumentally the son is born with the aid of the genitals, he is actually born within the heart. According to the heart situation, the semen will take the form of a body. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, when one begets a child, his heart should be purified through the ritualistic ceremony known as Garbhadana. Rishabhdev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhdev were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Rishabhdev suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised others to serve him. All the brothers of Bharat Maharaj were advised by Rishabhdev to adhere to Bharata's service. The question may be asked, why one should be attached to family members? For in the beginning is advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it was advised, Mahiyasam Padrajobhishekam. One has to serve the Mahiyam, one who is very spiritually advanced. Mahatsevam Dwaramahur Vimukte. By serving the Mahat, the exalted devotees, one's path for liberation is open. The family of Rishabhdev should not be compared to ordinary materialistic family. Bharat Maharaj, the Rishabhdev's eldest son, was specifically very exalted. For this reason, thus other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bharat Maharaj to be the chief ruler of the planet. This is the real plan of the Supreme Lord. In the battle of Kurukshetra, we find the Lord wanted Maharaj Yudhishthira to be the supreme emperor of this planet. He never wanted Duryodhana to take the post. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Rishabhdev's heart is Hridayam Yatra Dharma. The characteristic Dharma is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. To protect Dharma, Paritranaya Sadhunam. The Lord always wants the ruler of the earth to be a devotee. Then everything goes on nicely for the benefit of everyone. As soon as a demon rules earth, everything becomes chaotic. At the present moment, the world is inclined towards democratic process. But the people in general are all contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Consequently, they cannot select the right person to head the government. The president is selected by the votes of ignorant Shudras. Therefore, another Shudra is elected, and immediately the entire government becomes polluted. If people strictly followed the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they would elect a person who is Lord's devotee. Then automatically there would be good government. Rishabdev therefore recommended Bharat Maharaj as the emperor of this planet. Serving a devotee means serving the Supreme Lord. For a devotee is always represents the Lord. When a devotee is in charge of the government, it is always congenial and beneficial for everyone. उमज्ञानमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयहं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणललिता शिविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्तराधा कान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गिराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो आफ्टर लॉन्ग टाइम आई एम गेटिंग ऑपर्चुनिटी टू सर्व श्री श्री राधा रास बिहारी इन द फॉर्म ऑफ गिविंग दिस क्लास सो दिस वर्स इज स्पोकन बाय ऋषभदेव वी ऑल नो इट एंड दिस इज स्पोकन टू हिज सन्स And while speaking to his 100 sons, specifically in the previous verse, we know Rishabdev has revealed his own position. Like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, I am God, he directly says. So in the previous verse, Rishabdev has declared that my body, though it looks like a human being, it is not human. It is transcendental, it is Satchitananda. So he established his position of being God. And that is why in this verse, he starts the shloka by saying Tasmat. Tasmat means that is why. Why? Because I am the Supreme Lord. Hradayena jata sarve mahiyasam mam sanabham. What is the reason why I am using this word Tasmat? I am using this word Tasmat because Hradayena jata. Because all of you, my dear children, my dear sons, you are all born from my Hradaya, which is pure. Because I am the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is beyond the modes of nature. There is no tinge of passion and ignorance in the heart. So you are all born from me. So that is the reason you are Mahiyamsham. Your Mahiyamsa means you are very great, you are very pure. So it is explained in the scriptures about this point how the children born to the father, their quality depends on the quality of the father. So, Tasmat Bhavanto Hridayena Jata. You are all born from my Hridaya. Sarve Mahiyasam, all of you, not just Bharata, whom I am going to glorify in this verse. Sarve, all of you are Mahiyamsam. Om Sanabham. Now, your brother, അമും നൗ അക്ലിഷ്ട അക്ലിഷ്ടബുദ്ധയ ഭരതം ഭജന്തം. ദോ സർവേ, ഓൾ ഓഫ് യു ആർ വെരി പ്യുർ. മൈ റിക്വസ്റ്റ് ഈസ് ടു ഓൾ ഓഫ് യു, മൈ ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ ടു ഓൾ ഓഫ് യു ഈസ് വാട്ട് യു ഡു, അക്ലിഷ്ടബുദ്ധയ ഭജന്തം. അക്ലിഷ്ടബുദ്ധയ മീൻസ് വിത്ത് പ്യുവർ ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, പ്യുവർ മൈൻഡ്. വാട്ട് യു ഷുഡ് ഡു? ഭജന്തം, യു ഷുഡ് വർഷിപ്പ്. ഹൂം ഷുഡ് യു വർഷിപ്പ്? ഭരതം ഭജന്തം. വർഷിപ്പ് ഭരത, who is your own brother. Then by doing so, shushrushanam tat, by doing so you are actually serving me. And not only you are serving me, bharanam prajanam, you are ruling the entire kingdom, you are taking care of all the citizens. So that is the anvaya of this particular verse. Because I am the supreme lord, you are born from my heart, that is why you are all very pure. So your brother Bharata should be worshipped by all of you, aklishta buddhaya, without any contamination in the mind. By doing so, it is my service, it is service to me, and it is also ruling the entire kingdom and taking care of all the citizens. So that is the meaning of this particular verse. Let us see what is hidden in the purport of this particular verse. Tasmat, now just now this verse is connected to the previous verse, as I have told. Rishabhde is using tasmat. Why is he using this word tasmat? He is using this word tasmat to prove that this point, since you are my sons, you are as good as I am. It is said in the scriptures, as is the father, so is the son. If you want good children, you should be a good father and mother. Like many a times in your road, we have a lot of children program there. Some parents would come and then tell me, hamare bachche ko samjhaiye, please tell our child, ye badmash hai, ye gada hai, and they say bandar hai. Then in my mind I think, he is not badmash, he is not bandar, he is not gada. Actually, you are that. And that is why he became like that. So, it is the responsibility of the parents to make sure that they have pure children. According to the purity of the father and the mother, you will get the parents. Because according to the Vedic injunctions or Vedic system or philosophy, we know the children are not produced by some kind of combination of a man and woman by the transfer of semen. Behind it there is a lot of consciousness involved. It is not just the semen goes into the woman body and the child is produced. That kind of production happens for the animals. Whereas in the human civilization, the conception, there is a nice system called Garbhadana. Prabhupada explains about this Garbhadana in the purport in many places. Because of the Garbhadana system, the purity of the children are maintained. So Garbhadana is actually a sanskar. Sanskar means purificatory process. If somebody undergoes the purificatory process and then produces children, then the children will be pure. Not only the children will be pure, the children will be according to the desire of the parents. Originally, we find that if the parents were having Brahminical attitude, the children would also have Brahminical attitude. If the parents would have Kshatriya attitude, naturally the Kshatriya, the king and the queen, they would constantly think that our child should be very powerful, he should be very charitable, and he should be ruling over the country very nicely, and he should sacrifice everything for the welfare of the citizens. And they would be always thinking in this way. And their consciousness would also be maintained while they are conceiving, while the conception is going on. They would be contemplating on the qualities of the child, praying to the Supreme Lord that we want such a child. If the parents is Brahmins, Brahminical qualities parents, then they would contemplate that we want such a child who would be very peaceful, who would be very expert in the scriptures, who would do a lot of austerity, So they would think about or conceive the child first within the mind, within their consciousness, and then conceive on the physical platform. But these days, the conception happens not based on these principles. That is why the purity is not maintained. So here, Hridayena Jata. Here it is explained that the law, the chest is known as Uru. That is why the sons are also called Auruhu. There is another meaning of the sons in Sanskrit. The son is known as, the children are known as Auruhu. That means who is born from the chest, who is born from the heart of the mother and the father. This is also very nicely explained in the 10th canto when Krishna appeared. When Krishna appeared, first he appeared in the heart of Vasudeva. And then from the heart of Vasudeva, he was transferred to the heart of Devaki. Now there the acharyas explain, Garbha actually means a protected place. It is not that Krishna was in the womb, what we normally understand womb is the stomach. Stomach womb of Devaki. Krishna was not there. He was actually in the heart of Devaki, who was actually transferred from the heart of Vasudeva. There it is explained that how that this transfer of Krishna from the heart of Devaki, the heart of Vasudeva to the heart of Devaki is the initiation process. Initiation process means that the guru or the spiritual master, he transforms Krishna from his heart to the heart of his disciple. So it's like installation process. Like you have a CD, you install the program in the computer. The same way Guru, Samarhadaya Sada Govinda Vishram, that Krishna who is resting in the heart of a pure devotee, he installs in the heart of his disciple. So that is actually a kind of initiation process. That is actually a sanskar. The same way Garbhadana is also a sanskar. First, actually, they should meditate. It is explained in the Garbhadana Sanskar in the Satkriya Sardipika that how the father and the mother who would like to conceive a child, first they should contemplate on the qualities of the child whom they would like to have. And they should pray to the Supreme Lord. Praying to the Supreme Lord to have a child of desired quality is not a taboo for a husband and wife. Actually, a person should get married not to become a husband or a wife, should get married to become a father and mother. But these days, this kind of understanding is not there. Though they get married, they would think, we don't want children now. We want sometime later. We would like to have whenever we want. This kind of thinking is not Vedic. It is not Vedic culture. It is actually praying to the Supreme Lord that I have accepted other person so that procreation can happen according to dharma. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, dharma viruddhau kameshu bhuteshu kamasminta bharatashava. I am that kama which is performed according to the religious principles, which is not according to the religious principles. I am that. So it is a very pure thing. Now, bhavantaha hridayena jata sarve mahiyam sam. You are all very great, you are very pure. So maintain that purity which I have given to you by birth. Now it is the responsibility of the children to maintain that purity. That is what is the intention behind Rishabhdev telling his children. I am the Supreme Lord and my heart is pure. And when I gave birth to you, you are also very pure. You are also Mahiyamsam. That is why Amum Sanabham. Sanabham means brother. That brother which I am talking about to you is Bharata. Among you 100, one, the eldest one, Bharata, is very special. And Srila Prabhupada has explained why Bharata is special. Because he has performed devotional service and he has come to a level of pure devotional service. All were great souls, but Bharata is special. And what is the speciality? The acharyas explain, the speciality of Bharata was there is no scope in Bharata to be contaminated. Whereas the other children of Rishabhdev, there was a possibility that they could get contaminated. Why? How do you understand that? Because Rishabhdev has explained or had told in this verse, Aklishta Buddhaya Bharatam Bhajantam. Aklishta Buddhaya means being pure hearted. What is the specific purity which he is talking about here? The Acharyas explain, Matsaryam Hitva, giving up your Matsarata. Actually there is no Matsarata, but the nature of the material world is that it impels you to become envious. Whereas Bharata has no possibility for him to become envious. But there is a possibility that all of you children, all of you sons, there is a possibility of you becoming envious because of not birth, because of the association, because of the world itself. Because the nature of the material world is so dangerous that even though you don't want contamination, it comes. Many of the devotees have this experience. We don't want to be lusty, we don't want to be angry, but somehow it comes. So this is the nature of this world. That is why Rishabhdev is telling his other sons, Aklishta Buddhaya, especially you have to give up your enviousness. Actually his enviousness is such a quality that it is explained by Sridhar Swami, Para Utkarshanam Asahanam. Intolerance of others' progress is known as enviousness. If somebody else is progressing more than you, he is getting more money or is appreciated more, intolerance towards that is known as enviousness. Now, the nature of this material world is that somehow we become envious. Even though coming from a very pure family, coming from such a good birth, the world doesn't leave us. It contaminates the mind. That is why we should be very careful. So, Rishabhdev is warning his children, warning his sons, other 99 sons, that don't be envious. This enviousness is such a thing, generally we don't become envious of a person who is a distant relative of us or a far away friend or unknown person. The more close the person is, there is a more tendency of becoming envious towards that person who is more close to you. Generally we find that we become envious of our own brother, our own friend and our own people who are just very close to us. Suppose somebody is making more money than you, who is unknown to you somewhere, you are not bothered about it. But if your brother makes more money than you, then immediately becomes envious. Hey, who are you? So it is such an interesting thing to know, the object of natural love in this world, your brother, the sister, and parents, and the friends, the neighbors, they are objects of natural affection. And it so happens this envious is shown to them. Somebody gets a promotion, no problem. But your friend gets a promotion, problem is there. Now, some devotee in some other temple is doing great preaching. Okay, very nice, wonderful he's doing. But the devotee who is staying next to you is doing something wonderful. He becomes, what is this? I cannot tolerate. So this enviousness is actually such a dangerous quality. It makes you lose your own friends, lose your own brothers. And not only that, this enviousness is such a quality, it doesn't even make you value your own quality. Though you are very good and very wonderful, doing anything nice, just because somebody is doing better than you, that makes you feel that, what is this? I don't have enough. I am not doing this thing. So we even lose the value or the enjoyment, whatever we have. That is also lost. That is why enviousness is considered to be a poison. So here Rishabhdev is telling, Aklishta Buddhaya. Three of the Acharyas, they clearly explain, Aklishta Buddhaya refers to Rishabhdev explaining to his other sons, don't be envious of Bharata. And now, how not to be envious of a person? It is impossible
to be not envious of a person until unless you worship that person, until unless you glorify the person. So that is why aklishta buddhaya, the word buddhaya refers to intelligence. So by intelligence one has to identify the enviousness within the heart and remove that enviousness. How? Bharatam bhajantam. Without bhajantam, without worshipping the object of your envy, that envy will not go. It is impossible. Like many people, they try, I want to get rid of lust. It is not possible until unless we serve the Supreme Lord, until unless we engage our senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. Artificially trying to get rid of lust, anger and all, it is not possible. It is like going in a dark room and trying to get rid of the darkness by jumping around and pushing the darkness away. It is not possible. You just have to switch on the light, the darkness will go away. In the same way, enviousness cannot be rejected from our heart, will not go away from our heart till we start worshipping the person whom we are envious of, or there is a chance of becoming envious of. So now somebody may ask a question, hey, how is it possible I should worship a person whom I am envious of? It is not possible at all. Even though it is not possible, it should be done. It forcibly one should do it. So that is why Rishabhdev says, you should bhajantam. It is an order given by Rishabhdev. The word bhajantam is not a request. It is not that, by doing so. No, it is an order. Bhajam tam, bhajadvam. The word bhajadvam in the Sanskrit language, it is a injunction. And there cannot be any substitute for this. That is bharatam bhajantam, bhajadvam. So now, there may be a question. The other sons, 99 sons may ask, my dear father, you are told so many verses before, where you are told that one should worship Mahiyasam Padrajobhishekam. Great personalities like Narada, they should be worshipped. One of the acharyas explained, one of the sons may ask this question, Mahiyasam Padrajobhishekam, we will worship Narada, why Bharata? And also, it is explained, one should not have attachment with the family members. So these two doubts may be there. Number one, we will worship Mahiyasam Padrajobhishekam, we will take the dust of the lotus feet of Narada. And anyhow, Bharata is our brother. We should not have family affection. Why we should worship Bharata? And no attachment should be there. So in reply to that, the acharya has explained one very important point. One is Bharata's exalted position of devotion. Bharata is no less than Narada and other devotees. Because he has such a great wonderful quality of giving shelter to all the brothers. That is the reason Rishabhdev told, you should worship Bharata. Number two, the second question may be asked, objection, he is my family member, why I should be attached to a family member? It is an upadhi, and bhakti has been explained as sarvopadhi nirmuktam tatpratya nirmalam. You can only be pure when you give up the upadhi. When we worship Bharata, naturally the upadhi is there, the identification is there. Oh, he is my brother. Anyhow, we have to get rid of that. How can there be bhakti when the upadhi is there? That was the question. So now here, it is explained, though there is upadhi, though Bharata is a family member, because he is an exalted devotee, though he is a family member, the rule of giving up the affection for the family members doesn't apply. That is a secondary rule, giving up the affection for the family members. But the primary rule is what? One should serve great devotees. Once somebody becomes a devotee, the other designation of being a family member and all, that is all lost. Actually, one has a tendency to search out pure devotee. Where is he? Where is he going to come from? He is going to come from America. He is going to come from Delhi. He is going to come from somewhere. He is going to come from some other temple. But actually, we don't try to find out there is a pure devotee next to me. So that is the problem. There can be a pure devotee next to you. Why wait for somebody to come from some far away? So here we should understand that Rishabhdev is clearly telling his sons, your brother Bharata, though he is your brother, he is a pure devotee. So you should accept his shelter and you should worship him. Now, devotion, having an attachment for a devotee who is related to you, that is actually a very great blessing. Because the natural object of affection in this world is a father, mother, brother, sister. They are the natural objects of affection. And if one of your brothers or a father or mother or anyone is a devotee, having affection for them is not a taboo, but it is good. It is a great fortune. It is a great fortune to have one of your family members as a great devotee. And because you don't have to develop any special affection, because already it is there. And he explained very nicely, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, we know he delivered Sarvam Bhattachari. After delivering Sarvam Bhattachari, we know the entire prasanga where Gopinath Acharya could not tolerate the words of Sarvam Bhattachari. Because Sarvam Bhattachari told Gopinath Acharya, you tell Chaitanya Supreme Lord, where is it mentioned in the Vedas? Nowhere it is mentioned that the Lord takes appears in the Kali Yuga. And then he told Gopinath Acharya, go and tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he belongs to Bharati Sampradaya. I will give initiation, better initiation to him. And not only that, I will teach him Vedanta. Because it is not good for a sannyasi who is very young and beautiful not to study Vedanta. And that too is dancing on the street. And Sarvam Bhattachari was so puffed up. He was thinking, Chaitanya the Supreme Lord, I have a doubt, I have a fear that he may fall down. That was the ego which Sarvam Bhattachari had. And we know the story further that how Gopinath Acharya went and told, he became very frustrated and told all these things. How dare Sarvam Bhattachari tell this thing? Then Chaitanya, being so humbly, told, actually Sarvam Bhattachari is having a motherly affection for me. He has got vatsalya towards me. Having a concern that I should not fall down is actually a motherly affection. It is a parental affection. So I will still meet him. No problem, I will go and learn Vedanta from him. Then Chaitanya went and learned Vedanta, and we know how Sarvam Bhattachari was completely smashed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arguments. And ultimately Sarvam Bhattachari surrendered to Chaitanya. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvam Bhattachari, there is great mercy of Krishna on you. Then Sarvam Bhattachari told, I don't know who is Krishna. I definitely have your mercy. And then he told, I got your mercy because Gopinath Acharya is somehow related to me. When Sarvam Bhattachari told this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased. It is, we get the mercy of Krishna because of the mercy of devotees. And naturally, a devotee would like to show mercy to the person who is very close to him. Isn't it? Suppose there is a son, a young boy, who gets devotion to Krishna, gets into bhakti. Naturally, he has got a great desire that my father, mother, brother should become a devotee. So, having an affection for a devotee who is actually a family member, he is not a taboo. It is well, and it is good. There is no problem, because of them we get the mercy of Krishna. But now there is another place. Actually, many places in the Bhagavatam, the relationship of brothers have been described very nicely. At this prasanga, and we have there Narada delivering the sons of Daksha. First he delivered 10,000, and then the next thousand came to do tapasya and austerities for materialistic purposes. Narada just told them, he glorified their brothers. Your brothers are so great. You just do what they have done. And they became very affectionate to their brothers, and then they also took up Vairagya. They also renounced the world. And here, not only that, we find in the Prachetas Prasanga, in Guruvayur this happened. There is a nice wonderful lake. There the Prachetas went, and they were doing austerity for materialistic purposes, karma kandam. And there Lord Shiva saw one very important quality within all these sons, well, Prachetas. What is it? They had very great affection among themselves. And by his own sweet will, Lord Shiva appeared there. And then he told, by seeing your devotion, by seeing your affection for each other, I am going to give you a mantra. And he spoke the Rudra Geet. That is why in the scriptures, the affection between the brothers has been glorified. Just now we celebrated Ram Navami. We know how Lakshmana, he actually established the ideal principle of how to worship your brother, how to have a nice cordial relationship with God brothers and God sisters. So, on the other hand, there may be a doubt about a prayer from Kunti Maharani, where she says, Sneha Pasham Inam Idam Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She says, my dear Lord Krishna, Tvai Me Ananya Manasa Matir Matupate Sutkrit. Let my mind be constantly engrossed in thinking about you. Gange Vauda Udhanmati. Like the Ganga is flowing and attracted towards the ocean. I don't want to be attracted by anybody. I just want to be attracted to you. And please cut the knots of affection which I have for Pandus, my own children, and Vrishnis, both are related to both, because Kunti, she is a sister of Vasudeva. So in this way, she is related to Vrishnis and the Yadus or the Pandavas. So Pandavas are also affectionate to Kunti Maharani, and also the Vrishnis who are staying there in Dwaraka, they are also affectionate. Then now why Kunti Maharani says, I want to cut my relationship with both of them? Pandavas are pure devotees, Vishnis are pure devotees. Why Kunti Maharani is telling, I want to cut off my relationship and affection for them? Affection. Now here we should understand that this affection, why Kunti Maharani is telling? Because she got completely confused. It is a state of confusion in which she says, I want to cut off my affection. It is not that she really wants to cut off her affection with the Pandavas and Vrishnis. The Acharya has explained that if Krishna is with the Pandavas, then the Vrishnis will not have Krishna. If Krishna is with the Vrishnis, then the Pandavas will not have Krishna. So she got confused that if I ask you to be with Pandavas, then the Vrishnis will not have. If you are asked to be with Vrishnis, then the Pandavas will not have. This affection for these devotees is making me confused in such a way that I want to say that I don't want affection for them. And going further, we know in the first canto, the second chapter of Bhagavatam, the Mangalacharan prayers done by Sutta Goswami to his guru Sukadeva Goswami. And there he says, Yam pravajanta manapeta upeda krityam dvaipayano virahakata rajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravabhredustam sarvabhuta hrudayam munimanatosmi. This is a Mangalacharan worship of Sutta Goswami to Sukadeva Goswami before he starts his answers to the six questions. There he worships Sukadeva Goswami by saying, how glorious you are, Tam Muniman Thosmi, you are such a great Muni, Sarvabhuta Hrudayam, you enter the heart and change the heart of everyone, you are such a great personality, that Yam Pravajanta Manapeta Upeta, as soon as you are born, you did not even require to have any purificatory ceremony, by birth you are pure. Purification is required for who is contaminated. And why is purification required for you? Anapeta upeda krityam dvaipayana. When you ran away, your father, dvaipayana, Krishna dvaipayana vyasa, he ran behind Sukadeva Goswami. And one highway is lying, viraha kata rajuhava. By great separation from him, Vyasa started running behind Sukadeva Goswami, saying that, hey putra, oh my son, where are you running? Please don't run, please come back. Like when devotees join ISKCON as brahmacharis, their fathers also run like this. But is it the same? No, it is not the same. Vyasa is the author of all the Vedas. He is self-realized, so he is Supreme Lord himself. Do you think he will come down to the material platform? No, there the Acharya explains, though Vyasa is addressing Sukadeva Goswami as Putreti, it is seen as Putra Moha. It is not Putra Moha. Vyasa knew very well who is Sukadeva Goswami. He is Mahiyamsham, like the word it is required. He is a great personality. So Vyasa was thinking, such a great personality appeared as my son, and he is leaving. So it is Vaishnava Viraha. It is not Putra Moha. If somebody considers Vyasa's running behind Sukadeva Goswami is Putra Moha, he will be definitely doomed. It is an offense. It is Vaishnava Viraha. So Vaishnava Viraha is a very important subject matter in our culture. It is not very explicitly explained here, but One thing you should understand, if you have a Vaishnava in your home, Vaishnava very close to you, and he is a natural object of affection for you, what else is more fortunate than that? So that is why Rishabhdev is telling his sons, don't worry. You have your brother who is a natural object of affection for you. So you, bhajadvam. Now they have two questions in mind. What are the question? Okay, we will completely worship Bharata. No problem. But what about you? You are the Supreme Lord. Number two, we are the kings. We should take care of the population. We should take care of the citizens. Answering these two questions, Rishabhdev says, Shushrushanam tad. Don't worry. Even if you don't worship me, worshipping Bharata is as good as worshipping me. So Rishabhdev is telling, in one sense, worshipping your guru, I appointed Bharata as your guru. Worshipping guru is as good as worshipping me. Even if you don't worship me, don't, no problem. You worship your guru. That is as good as worshipping me. And the second objection was, how to take care of the society? How to take care of the children? How to take care of the population? Prajanam, Bharanam. How to take care of that? Don't worry. If you worship Bharata nicely, automatically the citizens are taken care of. That is the power of devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that when somebody becomes a devotee and has faith in Krishna and his devotee in devotion, then what happens? Shraddha Shabde Vishwasakure Sudhra Nischai. Krishna Bhakti Karlen. If you devote yourself to Krishna, if you worship Bharata, Sarva Karma Kritahai, your duty of taking care of the population is automatically accomplished. You just have to worship Bharata. So Sarva Karma Kritahai. We don't have to do anything else other than worshipping the Supreme Lord, other than worshipping the Supreme Lord and His representative. Automatically everything is taken care of. Even if you don't do your duties, if you are worshipping the Supreme Lord and His pure devotee, the duties are automatically done. Pariyatta kartam, no problem. So just imagine, this Rishabhdev is telling a king that you don't have to do anything. You just have to worship. Then what to speak of ordinary people like us who don't have much of responsibilities. And on the name of responsibilities, we take so much on our head and forget worshipping the devotees. We worship the devotees, worship the Supreme Lord, all the activities are automatically done. So that is what is explained by Rishabhdev to his sons. And very nicely he has brought out the point that Shushrushanam tat Bharanam Bhajanam, automatically will be done, you don't worry. Prabhupada at the end of the purport, he says that how Rishabhdev wants Bharata to be the king, because he wants, the Lord has a natural tendency that he wants a devotee to be the king. Like he wanted Arjuna, Yudhishthira to be the king, not Duryodhana. Duryodhana is a very good king, but not a devotee king. So better to have a king who is not having expertise in management, expertise in ruling. Better to have such a king than have an expert king who is having all the abilities to do all kinds of kingly duties, but not a devotee. So here, Bharanam Prajanam and Shushrushanam Tat automatically is done by worshipping your brother who is Bharata. So these are some points which are brought out from this particular verse. If you have some comments or any some questions, please to put forward. Hare Krishna. Any comments, any questions?
In the meaning of Madhyam Adhikari,
yeah,
it is stated that those we should have mercy on those who are ignorant, and should avoid those who are envious of us. So how this correlate with this? Because suppose somebody is envious of one achievement, then how he can ask that person to worship him? He is already envious.
Okay. One thing, you should never ask anybody to worship you. That is one thing. Somebody else can tell that person to worship you. So when somebody is envious of you or envious of someone, so then the maximum you can do is you should pray for him.
Regarding this, Sri Pada Ramanujacharya story is a wonderful example set up by himself. There was a pujari, head pujari of Sri Rangam, a very invasive Ramanuja. He wanted to give poison. He gave poison also, but somehow the wife told Ramanuja that my husband asked me to give you poison. I gave you poison and he never told me not to tell you, but I am telling you. So he was shocked. Next day when the Charanamrita was given, head pujari thought one thing which Ramanuja cannot refuse is Charanamrita. So head pujari gave Charanamrita. Ramanuja very well knew in front of Ranganath he is saying taking Charanamrita. He knew it is there, there is poison in this. Ramanuja did three things. Number one, he prayed to Ranganatha, please forgive his offense because he doesn't know what he is doing. Number two, like Jesus did, forgive them for that they don't know what they are doing. Number two, he prayed to, if you want to keep me alive, keep me alive. If you want me to die, no problem. Whatever is your desire, I'll accept. The third thing Ramananda did was, what is wrong in me? What is the fault in me for which he has become so envious of me? So three things Ramananda established. That how when somebody is envious of you, what should be your attitude? And what should be the attitude of some third person who is actually authority? He should make sure nobody is envious of anyone. That is the quality of the king. The king should make sure that there is no envy in the heart of the subjects. So the creation of envy, by creating envy among each other, the king may maintain his position of kingship, like divide and rule. But that ultimately will burn him. Like the British did, they divide and rule, but how long? 100, 200 years, what's? But ultimately they had to suffer, and they were blamed by both of them. So a king sometimes may use some political thing and think how to make envious and bring enviousness among each other so that I can take benefits of both of them. Like that monkey story is there. Yeah, you make both of them fight and then take advantage. But that is all materialistic. In the Vaishnava culture, the king is supposed to make that the subjects are not envious of each other. Should not create envy amongst each other. That is the role of the king. He doesn't have much thing to do. If you create non-enviousness among the subjects, the king doesn't have to do anything. He just goes, he can go and worship. If there is a lot of enviousness among the subjects, then every day he is putting his hand on the head and solving the fights. Isn't it? Very many temples this happens. The temple president or the temple commander is fed up with the fights of the devotees. Why? Because if you make atmosphere where there is non-enviousness among devotees, then no fights, no problem, no work. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Okay. So this thing. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. The 99 brothers of King Bharata, by worshipping King Bharata, accepted Bharata as their spiritual master.
Yeah.
Correct? But by misfortune, subsequently, Bharata himself became victim of attachment to baby deer.
Yeah.
And he perhaps could not go back to Godhead in this life.
Yeah.
So what is the fate of the 99 brothers?
Their fate of 99 brothers is definitely back home, back to Godhead. Because these 99 brothers, they are following the orders of their father who is the Supreme Lord himself. Okay. Number two, Bharata's fall down cannot be compared to this prasanga. Bharata's so-called fall down from his position of being attained the level of bhava, he is an arrangement of the Lord to teach all of us that even though you may be exalted devotee, attained the level of bhava, but if you give up the association of devotees, there is always a possibility of attachment for materialistic things. That is why Kapila Muni tells Devyuti that prasangam majaram basam atmanak kavayo viduhu saeva sadhu sukruto atma mokshadvaram apavritam. The doors of liberation are open as soon as you have affection for your
for a sadhu. But at the moment of you have affection for something else, then prasangam majaram basham, then materialistic existence is there. So that is an affection for sadhu should be there. For that you should have a sadhu around you, isn't it? So you should have association devotees. To whenever Krishna teaches something, he uses his own devotees to teach. Like Arjuna is partial of Krishna, how can he be bewildered? If somebody thinks Arjuna became ignorant, oh he is crying, oh it's an offense. Arjuna is partial of Krishna. Krishna's arrangement is that Arjuna becomes bewildered so that everybody can get Gita. So in this way we should understand. Okay?
Alex.
Yeah, last question. Okay. Where time is over. Yeah.
Whenever this enviousness is there, like in case of Daksha also, that he cursed Shiva.
Yeah.
But then he was trying to justify also. So in our case also it may happen sometimes that we are envious but start justifying. So how we know that it's actual fact that we are envious or we are...
So a nice question. His question is when we are envious of someone and then when somebody points out and we try to justify, isn't it? In our Vaishnava culture, there is one very important thing called maryada. Means, what do you say in English? Authority. That is the equivalent, not completely. So one should never do maryada vitikram. Means we should know what is our position and act according to that position. That's all. So when somebody becomes envious, the first thing which happens is we do maryada vitikram. Suppose you have to show a fault in somebody, you want to correct somebody. If you are envious of that person, you will show fault in the other person without having authority to do so. So immediately you cross because you start thinking, I am somebody. Enviousness brings that I am superior to somebody. I am better than someone, isn't it? So immediately the maryada vitikram is done. As soon as the maryada vitikram is done, means transgressing our position, then our offenses, everything comes. So immediately you should think, is it under my jurisdictions to do that? Is it sane to do that? That is where you can understand whether it is enviousness or it is performance of duty. It is Krishna's arrangement that Krishna shows compassion. He only sees good things in devotees. But when it comes to seeing bad things and correcting, he made a guru. You take care of it. Like in a company, the boss, when it comes to giving promotions, he personally gives. When it comes to punishing, he keeps a personal manager. It's a very difficult job to be a guru or to be a manager or to be in charge of a group of devotees, because Krishna has given such a difficult job. Very difficult. So we need to be very careful. Is it my jurisdiction? Is it my this thing? That's the one of the important things. There are many other things which are explained by Sri Vishnu Thakur and Madhuri Kadambini and many other scriptures. But this is the first thing, maryada vatikram, which happens. Because of ahankar. Ahankar means you think yourself to be somebody other than what you actually are. That is called ahankar. So that happens. So we stop here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.